See you next week.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Welcome to Cangwee, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And I have a voice.
Yes.
I have recovered from...
Forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, it was... last week was a challenge. It was a challenge.
Mm-hmm. I kept covering my microphone with my hand so I could laugh at you. Because it's, you know, those situations where, like, if you have a friend, you go out partying, they drink too much and they're hugging the toilet, and you're like, they're there, and you bring them a blanket and you pull their hair out so they don't get their hair in the toilet. And you maybe you put, like, some clean drinking water next to them, and
you've done that.
There you go, buddy. You're gonna do better. And every time you leave the room to get something else, you have the giggles because they just look so hilariously ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh,
when you have compassion, you're helping them. You are fetching them the water, but you're also like, tee-hee.
Oh, when your friend has musician, by the way, but no, anesthesia. Is it the drug that makes you not feel things?
Anesthetics.
That's the one.
I knew what you were saying. I was just letting you embarrass yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love Anastasia, so, you know, there is that. She's on tour, apparently, in Europe. More, you know.
The last known princess of Russia?
No, the one-hit wonder. We'll put some Anastasia on later. It's fine. All right, well, welcome back, everybody, to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name, as I mentioned, is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian. Wait, we've already done this.
Yeah, we've done it. Done that. All right, last week, yesterday, very busy gay day.
Oh, yes?
Very busy gay day.
Just the one day.
Well, you say that, but, you know, if you were in New York, London, or Toronto.
Yes.
Huge pride events.
Oh, I think San Francisco also has their same, their pride. No, San Francisco's off by a week. I think that's next weekend. I'm going by memory here. I'm probably wrong. Never mind. Go on.
But yeah, so there was about 32,000 people in London in the UK.
Really?
New York City had...
Just 32,000 in London?
I think in the parade.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, it's a busy parade.
They had more people in the parade than many villages in England have.
But this is very true. Okay. This is very true. They have more people in the parade than conservative voters. Mm-hmm. In the current election, so little joke there for anyone watching British politics.
But the conservatives in England aren't really what we would call conservative, though.
No,
they're more like
charlatans.
Weird, like politically, in the kind of things they espouse, they would fit in more with our liberals, but a little bit more cartoonish.
Mm.
A cartoonish Canadian liberal is the British conservative. They have three conservative parties there, none of which are called conservative. So,
it's a thing. It's a lot. But it's been all over the world. In Warsaw, Poland,
yes.
10,000 people participated in the recent March event.
Oh, good.
It has been a very, 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 very busy, very, very gay weekend, as I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't entirely smooth sailing, at least in Toronto, or Toronto, if you're Toronto.
See, I actually did live there for a few years. So
I lived there for about a year. You know, like cut me some slack. About 18 months, I can get away with not pronouncing.
So you're trying to say Toronto while also having a Welsh accent.
Yeah. It was quite something. anyway, speaking of Toronto, there was obviously the big parade.
Yes.
Lots of people going into it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe too big. We'll get into that in just a few moments. But right at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a 3.5-hour parade, but about near the end, there was a protest. The Coalition Against Pinkwashing,
right.
There we go, stopped the procession in the middle of their route by the protesters, about 30 of them all told, from the coalition against pinkwashing, really drawing the ire of, I believe, Pride Toronto had some sponsors who were linked to the Israeli conflict, or rather the Israeli conflict against Gaza. But yeah, about 5 minutes later, the Pride Toronto issued a statement out on their social media channels, effectively saying that the parade was cancelled. So the largest parade in the country being cancelled. As it happened, I was watching online.
Cancelled, like, while people were still on
the parade.
Like, disband and go home, people.
Yeah, but most people didn't even realise, to be honest.
Yeah.
So the pro-Palestinian groups, you know that LCBO on Yonge, like, just by Yonge and Church?
Yonge?
It's, like, the only LCBO on that street.
Oh,
The one the parade walks past.
Okay, no, I have to remember, because Church and Yonge are parallel to each other.
Yeah, but it's the one on Yonge.
But then...
I was thinking near Yonge and Wellesley.
No, but Church eventually swings west, eventually.
No, I'm talking Church and Wellesley.
Oh, Church and Wellesley, there's an LCBO. Yes, okay.
Yeah, remember that one? So they kind of like, we're in the middle of the street there. It's very hard to get around them. But this isn't the only Pride parade... where there have been protesters involved.
It's weird because it's sort of this new... There's a new phenomenon. It doesn't have a word. A lot of people have been referring them as counter-protesters, but they're not. They're protesters who are interrupting other protesters to draw attention to themselves. So, and they're not counter-protesting. Like, they're not... Some of them are protesting Pride, like some of them are holding up signs saying, like, you know, why are you doing this when there's other things going on elsewhere in the world? There's a thing this week where people are starting to say all this discourse around whether or not Star Wars is still worth your time or not. Has the writing gone down? Has the effects, the budget, whatever? And then other people are saying, you know, that there's people starving. And, like, there's civil war and flooding and environmental crisis. And if you put as much effort into that as you did into Star Wars lore, then, you know, maybe the world would be better. And there kind of a less nerdy, more relevant version of that. Like, you're celebrating Pride. Meanwhile, X, Y, and Z are happening in the Middle East. But then I hear people countering against them. Like, why aren't you doing this for... the civil war in Yemen and Oman, like, why this? Why not something else? You know, there's all over the world, there's things happening all the time. Why this in specific? And then you have other people. Are you being paid off? Is there some back end kind of, it's a mess. It's just a mess. But anyway, the parade was interrupted by another protest march.
And exactly. Yeah.
Whether or not they count as, I don't think counter protester is the correct word for that. I think we're looking at a new phenomenon in the civil rights world. It also happened, there's another Pride event about a month ago where the parade was interrupted by a Queers for Palestine group.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we mentioned it briefly, but there wasn't really much to say other than it happened. But now that it's happening more consistently at more Pride events...
Well, I believe it was New York, St. Louis, and Toronto all had their Pride parades blocked by the Coalition Against Pinkwashing. Now, it's worth mentioning that the Coalition Against Pinkwashing did take umbrage with not just the
parade.
Not just Palestine. So, although Queers for Palestine were there,
right?
They were just generally annoyed with a number of things. So, yeah, they were looking at... I had it written down a second ago. Let me just say, I'm just trying to find my notes. They want... there were six demands. I'm trying to find all six of them online. But there were six demands, and amongst them was divestment from all corporations actively involved in violently exploiting native people on Turtle Island, i.e. Canada, as well as the Sudan, Palestine, and the Congo. So, really interesting police response to the protesters during this particular Pride event. Do you want to know what the police response was?
Kettling.
No.
Okay.
No, zero. There was no police response.
Got it.
Police spokesman speaking to Toronto Star. Well,
they didn't even like make a neutral zone, because usually when you have two protester groups, the police have people there saying, okay, 10 meters apart, no touching, no getting too close. You're allowed to do this. You have the legal right to do this, but just keep a respect. Like, they didn't even do that. Like, that's alarming. Like, that could have become a dangerous situation.
Well, they were nearby.
They were nearby. They were watching, just like everyone else.
Spokespeople for the Toronto Police, they were not, immediately adjacent to the protesters.
Okay.
There's about 20 to 30 of them all.
They weren't even immediately adjacent to the protesters?
No.
Oh, my God.
And the reason being is Toronto Pride had asked the Toronto Police Service specifically not to directly intervene if, and presumably, when the Pride Parade gets protested.
Okay.
I think they saw the writing on the wall in terms of these protesters coming. We actually talked about it a number of times on our show. That this has already been propping up all over the place.
Right.
So it was paused temporarily whilst these protesters blocked the parade.
And I think it's fair, none of the other ones became violent. The counter-protest from BLM a few years back, that didn't turn violent. For the Pride organizers to say, be on hand nearby just in case, but it's probably going to be fine. Don't escalate anything. I think, actually, on second thought, that might be fair. They should have been more on hand. They should have been closer. They should have made it more clear that they were in the wings, ready to go in case something did happen, even if they weren't there. But on second thought, I think that that's probably fair. Although they do have a responsibility to do that when two protesting groups come up against each other, to keep a respectful distance between them.
Well, I think this is a really interesting approach by Pride Toronto. What we saw in the 2016, so going back a few years now, where the Black Lives Matter movement effectively blockaded the Pride event in Toronto and then issued a list of demands. Pride Toronto at the time rolled over and agreed to all of the demands on the spot.
Yes.
And then promptly unagreed when they weren't over a barrel.
Yeah.
Which, for me, still remains a hilarious example of what did you think was what going to happen?
And it's one of those, like, fair enough, But
that was not the approach taken this particular time round. This time round, I think they knew it was coming.
Right, yeah.
And what they seem to have done, there's about 250 groups marching in the Pride Parade in Toronto. Absolutely ridiculous number of people.
Right.
And what Pride Toronto seem to have gone is, these protesters blockaded the last 45 minutes or so of the parade. Mm-hmm. And Pride Toronto seems to have gone, okay, fine, it's cancelled, it's over, game over. Now, of course, all of those groups stuck behind the protesters are still going to make their way down to where they need to be.
Yeah.
But officially, the Pride event is over.
Yeah, so
they're like, what are they protesting? People getting home? Like,
marchers can diffuse into the crowd, but the floats, because of the way that all the side streets are blockaded, the floats can only complete the route.
Yeah. So are they just obstructing people leaving?
They're obstructing traffic at that point in time, yeah. And it also means that they can blame everything dissolving on that group.
Like, exactly.
You can get really good spin on that. Now, you and I have been talking about pinkwashing at Pride for almost as long as we've had this show, which is 14 years now? 13?
It's a while.
Somewhere between 12 and 100. And both of us have pretty firmly come down on, we may disagree on the details, but we both 100% agree that there is far too much corporate influence at Pride. So I think the idea of an organized group getting involved and trying to basically say people have been angry about the corporate influence at Pride for decades now, since about, I think the first time I heard people complaining about this was like 2005. So it is almost 20 years and it's been in the popular discourse for at least 10. So for them to say, no more playing nice, no more printing articles in, the Toronto Star and hoping that you maybe read it one day, we're going to actually get directly involved. The problem is that what this is doing is they're ruining it for everyone. They're not just ruining it for the organizers of Pride. They're not holding the organizers of Pride over a barrel. They're not putting the organizers on the spot. They're basically ruining it for the usually somewhere between 1 and 3 million people in Toronto and surrounding areas who come in to watch the parade.
There was a lot of people involved. I mentioned earlier that there were about 240 or 50 floats, a very large number anyway. But there was tens of thousands, if not 100,000 people marching as part of the Pride Parade. Now, Pride Toronto has issued a statement shortly afterwards, and it reads, and I quote, "Today, we made the decision to cancel the remainder of the Pride Parade out of our commitment to ensuring public safety. While we deeply respect and uphold everyone's right to peaceful protest, our foremost priority is the well-being of all participants and spectators. We recognize that the Pride Parade is a highly anticipated event that many organizations and individuals eagerly prepare for. Mm-hmm. We empathize with those who are looking forward to participating and regret any inconvenience caused by the decision." It's worth noting that Pride Toronto says that they have about 1,700 volunteers that help to make the event happen on the day. About 500 of them are first-time participants from international countries. So queer folks who have fled a rush of anti-gay legislation the world over have come to Canada, and about 500 of them participating. First Pride ever.
Yeah.
And it gets blocked by a protest. On the one hand, I think that that is in one way good because it demonstrates to newcomers, new Canadians, that
this is a political process.
Yeah, and we respect the democratic process. You know, process. We respect protests.
Yeah,
but I think it also they should think about that. These 20, 30 odd protesters that have, you know, not just caused a minor inconvenience, but really potentially soured the experience of these hundreds of first-time Pride goers from countries all over the world who just wanted to make a great event happen.
Well, one of the problems that I have problems coming down firmly on either side of this because I understand what's like, there's a lot of nuance here. People have been complaining about corporate influence at Pride for a very long time, and no one's done anything about it. So for this kind of thing to happen, I think it, to a degree, it was inevitable. I would never have dreamt this, that they're basically willing to say, if you're not willing to listen to us, nobody gets to have a good time. Like, that kind of surprised me. But the idea of something happening doesn't really shock me. And I know that, like, one of the big complaints that I have, that I've had for a long time, is a lot of corporate bodies are trying to turn, they're trying to fill that gap between Easter and Halloween, where there's nothing for corporations to turn profit off of. Because you've got, like, that holiday season where, like, you know, Halloween comes in and everything becomes Halloween-themed, and then as soon as that clears out, everything is Thanksgiving-themed, and as soon as that clears out, everything is Christmas-themed. And as soon as that, like, there's that stretch over the winter where it's just, everything is just pushing product, pushing product, pushing product. And everyone complains about that. People have been complaining about this for as long as I've been alive. You know, this corporate cycle. And then there was that gap in the summer with nothing. And I think a lot of corporations really have jumped on Pride as just a way of doing the same thing. That, like, I don't think Target actually cares about selling Pride-themed clothing. I think it's really just, you know, summer's Christmas in terms of the sale cycle. Now, I'm willing to bet, obviously, that there's somebody at all these corporations who care and actually want something out there, but not to the degree that the corporations are willing to get behind. And a lot of people just feel really cheated. Like, how is our political movement your sales opportunity? And I get that. The idea of people protesting that we are not here, not just for, you know, your free advertising, your free marketing, your free, what's the word I always forget?
PR.
Well, PR, yeah, I guess. We'll talk about it.
Goodwill.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, we'll get. We're actually going to touch on corporate branding of Pride.
But it's the marketing, and I can see people being upset and just saying that they're sick and tired of it, and they want to scale it back to just being a community event. But then we get into the other old chestnut of how do you get a festival that's large enough for 2 million people without
200 floats, 200,000 marches.
Uh-huh.
You know, absolutely massive
organization.
Sorry, I was looking up earlier. Sadiq Khan, I think his contingent was about 35,000.
Okay.
I don't think the whole of Toronto, London, UK Pride was 35. Anyway, we're going to jump to Perfection by Once in a Tree. This is the great collaboration between Jiley Wolf, who I believe we are huge fans of, and Hayden Wolf as well. Anyway, this is Perfection, and we will be back just after.
I never want imperfection, darling. Haven't you ever seen me? You thought that you should just lie, cover and pearl your scars.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Now, earlier we were talking about the protest that effectively cancelled the end of Pride. Was this
the parade, not the community fair,
yeah,
not the community events, not the venue events.
I mean, a lot of people were really pointing that out, whilst these protesters were chanting things that rhyme, everybody else just went over to the stages.
Pride is bigger than the parade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's the most well-known portion of Pride, but it is bigger than the parade.
There is a bit of a debate sparking up on social media. Did the protesters quote end quote win. I should put win in the middle of those quotes, but you know, because if their plan was to draw attention to this,
yeah,
if their plan was to disrupt, they cancelled the end of the parade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they were very effective in doing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what does this mean for Pride events moving forward?
Yes.
You know, how can...
It kind of falls into the heading of not all PR is good PR. So, like, when Stonehenge was demonstrated all over...
You mean... Oh, yeah, you mean, like, the ancient rock monuments.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was supposed to draw attention to the overabundance and overdependence on oil and plastics, but mostly what it did is it made people hate the protesters.
Yeah.
Very few people actually listened to their message. It was just, what's this group? Who are they called? Okay, next time I see a member, I will punch them in the nose. Like, it is... It really did not...
We're not advocating any violence.
No. But there was a lot of discourse out of English social media about, I will knock your teeth out if I find out you're part of this group.
Yeah, there
it's
was...
really... It backfired. It's not a good move.
I mean, I get it, because those climate action protesters in Britain, I think, are a really good example of this. And it is where nothing else is cutting through the noise.
Yeah.
So to become... to make someone listen to you, you have to become more and more
bombastic.
And the challenge is that where is it too far? You know, we've been talking about the corporatization of Pride for years.
Yeah,
absolutely years. And I do think, I mean, I want to move the conversation in this direction.
Yeah,
I do think that we have hit peak corporate pride.
Yeah,
I think we're actually on the way back down again.
Well, there's been a ton of articles about this, not just journalists writing about it, but also like official PR from corporate entities saying they're going to scale back their participation in Pride this year, or they're going to tone down the nature of the participation. So, for example, a couple of years ago, a lot of the major retail chains had very large Pride booths in their stores selling t-shirts and bathing suits and all sorts of things. And a lot of them were knocked down and torn apart. Target, a lot of articles were written about the displays at Target all over the United States getting torn down. They weren't the only ones. They were just the ones that talked about it the most.
Well, Out Magazine just issued an article called, you know, Five Brands That Have Rolled Back Pride Presence, essentially.
Yes.
So the first one, obviously, is Target in the U.S. For our Canadian listeners, Target attempted to be in this country and then failed and ran away.
Yeah.
But they had huge Pride events. Now it's only limited. It's only in select stores. Mm. I was talking to somebody recently who works in retail at a high level. And
all products are all available on their online
their website.
Store. Yeah. So, I mean, they're not completely out of the game. It's just the way that they're presenting it is
the
different.
Challenge with how Target approached this is... I think it's the to-ing and fro-ing. It was, they didn't stick to their guns.
Yeah.
And that peeved off the LGBTQ movement.
Yeah.
They tried to appease the folks that didn't like it. But didn't go far enough. Like nobody won.
But also, when they were involved, it was kind of garish. And there's a lot of people within the community who didn't like the way that they were doing it. It felt, not exploitive, but like gay Christmas. It just felt like they were doing the pride displays to... drive more sales, not because they actually cared about anything.
Well, Nike normally has a whole range of products. It looks like they've only got one this year.
Okay.
And Bud Light hasn't even mentioned Pride once, focusing on country music, the MMA, and Post Malone, according to this.
And horses. Lots of horses.
Exactly. Yeah. And the North Face, their only real presence, according to this Out magazine, is in Australia when it comes to Pride. And then Ralph Lauren is the fifth. So have companies grown sick and tired of being sick and tired of all this, to quote Anastasia? Now, I don't know. Is this... I think the challenge we have, you're right, Pride 200,000 marchers.
Yeah.
It's the largest single moving billboard in Canada.
Yeah.
There aren't even Canada Day parades that come anywhere near the scale of what pride in the big cities are able to draw.
Well, I mean, to go back to that thing that I've been stressing a little bit, maybe too much so far this episode, the difference between Pride and Christmas is that in Pride, the weather is nicer. So you can get more, it's easier to get people out to do things. Also, around Christmas, people travel and stuff like that. So, you know, your Santa Claus parade is going to be big, but it's not going to be to this scale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.